We've got primaries on the brain today with the presidential primary happening today. But you might not know that Michigan's primaries for state-level officials got off to a very interesting start back in the turn of the 20th century. The story involves the World Series, heated arguments, and senators being dragged to their chamber by Lansing police. It was told at length in the most recent issue of Michigan History Magazine in an article called A Matter of Primary Concern. The article was written by magazine's assistant editor, Maria Taylor, who joins us here in the studio now. Maria, welcome to Current State.
Thanks for having me.
This is a fascinating and entertaining story, and we'd like to tell an abbreviated version for our listeners. So let's start by setting the scene. It's Michigan, early 1900s. How were officials like governor and lieutenant governor chosen back then?
Actually, nominations for governor and lieutenant governor didn't come until about 1905. Prior to the early 1900s, candidates for office, that includes local, state, and even national, were nominated by party bosses behind closed doors at caucuses and conventions. Regular people, ordinary voters, had very little to do with the process.
So in 1905, Fred Warner became governor of the state of Michigan, and he wanted to implement a primary election reform statewide. Why is that?
He thought that the caucus and convention system didn't accurately reflect the wishes of the Michigan people.
So he proposed a bill in 1905 that didn't take off, so he tried again in 1907, and this attempt led to a legendary fight that became known as Warner versus the Boxers. What were the main elements of this proposal?
There were several main things he wanted to get passed to improve the 1905 bill. One was having all Michigan primaries on the same day statewide. Another was getting rid of a clause that he called the 40% clause.
And explain what the 40% clause was.
In order to be nominated, a candidate for governor or lieutenant governor had to win 40% of the vote. If he didn't, then nomination reverted to the convention system as of old.
So it sounds like one of his main objectives was giving the people more power to elect the officials, right?
That was the point of the bill.
All right, so this new bill passed in the House, but when it got to the Senate, they debated it for 2 weeks, and the vote was split evenly. Who is to blame for this deadlock?
Surprisingly, it wasn't party politics. All 32 senators were Republicans, like Warner. But, while half of them supported the governor, the other half had formed this anti-administration faction called the Boxers.
Okay, and why were the Boxers so against this bill?
Well, they said that it was created only to help Warner get reelected. Truth be told, though, the Boxers would oppose just about anything the governor supported, regardless of whether or not it would help the people of Michigan.
I'm speaking with Maria Taylor, the assistant editor of Michigan History Magazine. She wrote an article in the latest edition about a very interesting history of Michigan's primary, and she's relaying that story now. So since the legislature couldn't come to an agreement, Governor Warner made them reconvene for a special session about 5 months later. When they reconvened, they still couldn't agree on anything bill-related, but they did agree on something. What was that?
Taking a few days off to make it down to Detroit in time for the World Series. The Tigers lost, but the senators didn't care. They had a great time. So did the media. They called the senators out for neglecting their duty.
But they were probably able to regroup a little bit, keep things into perspective. And they ended up coming to some kind of agreement. So what did they come up with?
The reformers lost on the 40% clause that stayed in, and primary elections remained optional, not mandatory. But the good news about the bill was that it was workable, as opposed to the status quo, which was not.
So we're getting to the best part of the story here. The agreement they finally arrived at did away with many of the things Warner wanted. So he issued a scathing criticism blaming the Boxers. When they heard the criticism, what did they do?
The Boxers grouped together to write a response. But while they were in their little session, the rest of the governor's supporters fled the Senate and fanned out across the city.
So what happened then?
When the Boxers finished their session and had their resolution all written, they emerged and they were furious because they did not have anyone to hear it, and they did not have enough senators for a quorum.
So Senator Thomas Allen was one of the ones that they captured. So the Boxers actually went around the city of Lansing, or
yes,
is it Detroit?
They called Lansing. They called out the Lansing police to bring them back. And as an extra precaution, they even locked the Senate doors so that nobody else could escape.
So could they do that? I mean, would they do call the police and everything and try and get them into
yes.
session?
Yes.
Now, could they do that? Did
yeah.
they have the power to do that?
They did. They only had one sergeant at arms, and that wasn't enough to capture all 15 truants. So the Boxer leader, he was in a furious rage. He called out the Lansing police.
So who was the head of these Boxers?
His name was A.J. Tuttle.
A.J. Tuttle. Now, was there any kind of geographic similarity with these Boxers? I mean, what kind of brought them together? Were they just a bunch of malcontents?
I'm not sure. They really opposed the governor, though.
Okay. So there was no like geographical similarity here, right? It wasn't like they weren't okay. So anyway, so they decide that they're going to get the police together and they're going to call in everybody else. Now, did they have the power back then to do like a call of the Senate? That's what they do these days.
Yes, they did a call of the Senate, and the Boxers insisted that the truants be brought back in handcuffed and in ball and chain if necessary.
So what
and that was done.
So what was this resolution that they came up with? What did it say that they wanted to pass so darn bad?
They wanted to give a rebuttal to the governor and say that he had basically tarnished their reputations politically, professionally, and personally.
So was this covered in all the local newspapers? I mean, what kind of attention did this get?
It was covered in two Lansing newspapers by two reporters, which they stayed for the whole session. They really couldn't help it because they were locked in.
They were locked into the building, too?
Yes.
So Senator Thomas Allen was one of the people that they captured. So where did they find this guy?
He was on the steps of the Grand Trunk train station. The police chief captured him and sent a message back to the Senate saying he was bringing him back handcuffed and hooked to ball and chain.
Ball and chain. They used the ball and chain back in 1907. This is great. So tell us about some of the others they found.
Well, they found four more at an opera house in Lansing.
Oh, was there actually a show going on?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
The reports didn't say.
All right. So was there anyone else that they were able to find?
Well, they found one who was managed to escape. He jumped a moving train. The opera goers managed to get away too. They tweaked their fingers at the arresting officer, and I can only imagine that meant they flipped their fingers and they walked off.
Oh my goodness. Now, did anyone get dragged back to the chamber, like literally dragged?
The person who was in handcuffs somehow managed to outrun the police chief and escape. They did find one poor Detroit senator in his hotel room and dragged him out of his bed and made him come to the Senate to vote.
So how did this all resolve then in the end?
The Boxers ended up presenting their protest speech to a grand total of two of the governor's supporters. It really didn't make any difference, though, because the bill had already been passed, and it went into effect with the new year, 1908. Governor Warner won a third-term victory and became the first Michigan governor to be elected under the primary system.
Wow, that is really interesting. So the resolution was just them spouting off, right?
Yes.
I mean, they didn't have any power at that point.
Nope, it was just a protest.
So why did it matter that much that they had to call out the police? And
they were pretty vocal in their opposition to the governor, and they just probably wanted to create a scene.
Goodness gracious. And so, but the bill that was passed, and they had some Boxers supporting it, right?
Yes.
Was it? Okay.
It passed 28-2, the compromise bill.
Okay. So it was basically a compromise. And this was the first time then that voters actually got to participate in selecting who the Republican and Democrat nominee or just the Republican nominee for governor?
No, I'm not sure. It could be either one.
Okay. But then Fred Warner then went down in history as the person, as the governor, who created a system where the people actually had to participate in the Republican and Democratic primary.
Yes.
Wow. Well, that's very interesting. So why did you write this article? Why was it important to relay this story?
I volunteer at the Governor Warner Mansion, which is Fred Warner's home in Farmington. It's been created, or it's been turned into a museum. I'm the publicity coordinator there, and I write a monthly column called Mansion Musings for the local newspaper.
Oh, how interesting.
I was researching political topics for the March column, and I came across this, and the more I read about it, the more interesting I thought it was. And I thought people across the state might be interested in hearing about it, too. So I wrote it for Michigan History Magazine, where I work as assistant editor.
That's very interesting. Well, I've been speaking with assistant editor of the Michigan History Magazine, Maria Taylor, about her article, A Matter of Primary Concern. The article tells the story behind Michigan's very first primary, and you can read it in its entirety in the current edition of the magazine. Maria, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Don't forget to vote today.
Very good. You got until 8 p.m. to do that at your regular polling places. And again, you have to select either a Republican or Democratic ballot. You cannot participate in both.